Today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you on a day after the Phillies drop a game out in Los Angeles, 3-1, a late night game, 10-10 start, of course, on the West Coast out at Dodger Stadium, playing the defending champs. Always a tough place to play. The Dodgers among the best teams in baseball yet again so far this season. And I had mentioned yesterday how this series and the series coming up this weekend against the Giants is probably the biggest test for the Phillies so far this season. They have been playing hot in the month of June. 7-2 coming into this game. They dropped the 7-3. Game one of this six-game road trip does not go in the Phillies' favor. And you kind of saw some of the old habits come back up. They only scored one run. They did have a number of hits, eight hits to be exact, in this game. And they were just horrible with runners in scoring position, left a lot of runners on base, 10 runners left on base, 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. And I found it a little bit ironic because during the broadcast of last night's game, they had Ruben Amaro was the color analyst alongside Tom McCarthy. And they were kind of, you know, reminiscing back to the has some, you know, happier times in Phillies history, especially some big games they'd played in Dodger Stadium. And the biggest moment the Phillies have ever had out there, of course, one of the biggest moments in Phillies history and in that 2008 World Series run was the Matt Stairs home run in the right field where Joe Buck infamously says Stairs rips one into the night, gave the Phillies a 7-5 lead in game four of that series. They, of course, go on to win. They win the World Series. The rest is history. And then they were showing some footage of the parade and, you know, all that fun stuff. Always fun to go back down memory lane. And I thought it was ironic that as they were showing that, almost immediately, David Price gets up in the bullpen, which the guy's been he's a reliever now for the Dodgers after sitting out in 2020. He decided to sit out for COVID reasons. He came up originally, he was the number one pick in the draft, but he was used as a reliever primarily with the Tampa Bay Rays when he was first breaking into baseball back in 2008, and of course was on that 2008 Rays team that the Phillies beat. So I thought it was a little ironic that it's almost like time was a full circle. You know, he has this entire career as a starting pitcher basically since then, and now he's coming out of the bullpen again for the Dodgers, and he's getting up as they're reminiscing about 2008. Kind of just a little weird coincidence there. And another weird coincidence with 2008 is that infamously in that World Series, the Phillies were bad with runners in scoring position and leaving a lot of opportunities on the table. That's exactly what the Phillies did here. Again, 10 runners left on in the game, 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They had loads of opportunities, especially early in the game. In the first four innings, they were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. The only run they brought in this game, and the only time someone came through with runners in scoring position, was in the top half of the first. Bryce Harper singled into right center field, and that scored Odubel Herrera. But beyond that, they left a lot of ducks on the pond, as they say. And conversely for the Dodgers, they only had three hits in the game in total. They had a Will Smith two-run home run in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Gavin Lux came around to score on that after he hit into a fielder's choice. Mookie Betts led off that inning with a walk. There was a Chris Taylor solo home run in the bottom of the fifth. That turned out to be the final at-bat, or the final batter that Spencer Howard faced in this game. We'll get to him a little bit later. And the only other hit they had in this game, you want to talk about going back down memory lane with the 2008 stuff and David Price, Albert Pujols, who of course has been added to the Dodgers here midseason after, you know, him and the Angels parted ways, he comes in and gets a hit as well as when he pinch hit in the bottom of the seventh inning. He got a single left. That was the only three hits the Dodgers had in this game. When you hit home runs, it's hard to leave runners on base because you just hit yourself in. And that's, you know, just to go on a brief little side note here, I had mentioned yesterday, just because I so specifically praised the Phillies for kind of having an old school approach in the Yankees series and even in the final game of the Braves series, they still haven't hit a home run since Luke Williams walked off the game on Wednesday versus the Braves. And his first major league home run. It's an incredible story, right? And by the way, he had another cool homecoming. He, of course, is from Southern California. Tons of family and friends out there at Dodger Stadium, many of whom were unable to make the trip out to Philadelphia in time. Well, they got to see him pinch hit in this game and deliver the hit. So you know, the fairy tale Hollywood story for Luke Williams did physically continue into Hollywood on Monday night. But this is what we see in modern day baseball, right? Pitching is improving. There's a lot more pitching changes made these days, a lot more specialization, a lot more strikeouts. And the risk you run with not hitting the ball out of the ballpark is that when you get runners on base, you actually have to hit those runners in. And this has happened a number of times to the Phillies so far this season. Is if you just looked at the hit totals, Phillies 8, Dodgers 3, you'd think the Phillies won the game. But they left so many opportunities there, and because they aren't hitting the long ball, sometimes it's a thing of beauty, and sometimes they go station to station like they did in that first inning against the Yankees back on Saturday. But sometimes it results in a lot of frustration, a lot of runners left on base that don't convert in scoring chance. They are scoring opportunities, but they don't actually convert to runs on the board. And then the Dodgers just maximize their couple of hits. Even though home runs count as hits just the same way singles do, on the scoreboard they don't. And although they didn't work a single inning all night long, again, they had a walk, a fielder's choice, a home run, a solo home run, and a base hit by Pujols that led to nothing, that's enough for them to win the game. So that's kind of a bit of a microcosm for some of like the analytical viewpoint of why teams are shifting towards trying to hit the long ball more than work innings these days, especially with how good pitching is. Sometimes working the inning, you know, I have to point it out when it works well, and I do like when it works well, like it did for the Phillies over the weekend, but it also does not always work well, and it did not work for the Phillies in this game on Monday night. It cost them, actually, because they had the inability to hit with runners in scoring position. Again, 1-for-11, 10 runners left on base. The Dodgers hit a few balls out of the ballpark, and that was enough for them to win this game by a score of 3-1. So the Phillies' offensive struggles continue. Their struggles on the road continue. Their first of what I'll say six tests here. The whole road trip's a test by itself, but first of six games in this long test here on the West Coast trip, and they lose to the Dodgers 3-1. But the main story for me in this game was the following. We had another Spencer Howard start, and of course Spencer Howard has been under a microscope lately for the inability for his pitching velocity, his fastball velocity, to carry sometimes past the third inning and past the fourth inning. And this guy is supposed to be the top pitching prospect in the organization. They hope that he's a bona fide starter. Phillies fans should hope that he's a bona fide starter for this organization for years to come. And they're managing his innings, and there's a lot of things that factor into this, right? But the bottom line is this. As he goes four innings, allows three runs, one walk, four strikeouts, goes 67 pitches. He actually went deeper into this game than he has in some previous starts. He had a fastball in the fifth inning that was 94 miles an hour. His fastball, sometimes when he starts games, will go as high as 97 miles an hour. Now, he was not sitting out. He was not sitting at 94. It was maxing out at 94. It's more so sitting at the 91, 92 range. So that velocity is still taking a dip, but it went a little bit deeper than we have seen in the past. He's starting to stretch out a little bit here. But the way I see it, there's two different viewpoints you can kind of take here. And again, there's a number of things factoring in. Number one thing that I think is important to factor in is the Phillies have been very ambiguous in terms of saying how they're managing his innings coming off, you know, limited innings in the minor leagues, previous injuries he's had. They basically have been very inconclusive in terms of how they're managing his innings. So it's very hard for me or anyone else not within the organization to assess whether they're sticking to that or not. And they can pull, Joe Girardi can pull the plug on him basically at any time, and they can say, well, this is just what we think is best for Spencer Howard. And you can't really question whether that was within their original logic or not. We can only look at it in hindsight. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I think is important to remember here is that the Phillies are actively in win now mode. They are trying to make the playoffs because of where their roster is, and they went through years of rebuilding. So this is not a scenario where as if you were in a rebuilding year, if you were a team that clearly, maybe you don't physically say it, but you can tell by the actions of the team, they're starting a lot of younger players, they're more invested in the development of their young players. The Phillies were at that point not so long ago. Maybe you would let Spencer Howard go a little bit deeper into games to see how things go, because the priority is his development, not so much winning the game in the moment. Of course, you always want to win the game. In the moment, managers and players are thinking about winning the game. But that would be a directive from upstairs saying, hey, the most important thing is this guy be good a few years from now, not right now. Even if it's not the best managerial decision ever to win this game, we'll let it go. We need this guy to be good a few years from now. We'll take it if he allows a run or two more than, say, a reliever would have allowed. And that's not the situation the Phillies are in here. They're in win-now mode. So if his velocity is starting to dip, Joe Girardi should take him out of the game. Like, that is the correct decision because his fastball is not going to have the same life that it usually does. He's not going to be as effective the second and third and especially fourth time through the lineup. And the last thing I wanted to say here about what is kind of going on is the strategy that the Phillies have taken when Spencer Howard is pitching in these games. They officially have been calling it essentially the piggyback approach, where him followed by usually Ranger Suarez, and Monday night it was Bailey Falter making his major league debut for the Phils. All right, not technically his major league debut. He pitched once back on April 25th. He got recalled, and this was his second game in the big league. So he's pitched now five total innings. Again, he pitched two innings out in that Colorado series in April. I almost forgot about that, actually. Two innings out in Colorado. He allowed two runs. He had been back down in the minor leagues. Gets the recall, basically with the intention of following up Spencer Howard, because they know Spencer Howard is not going to go that deep into the game. And although he didn't technically follow him immediately, Girardi went to Brogdon for the remainder of the fifth inning, because they want to start Falter, you know, with a clean inning and line up the matchups the way they wanted. And ultimately, the way you get through the innings is you still have to get 27 outs to win a game. The Dodgers didn't bat in the bottom of the ninth. It ended up being 24 outs. But they kind of just reversed the order a little bit. So Spencer Howard goes the first four innings. He comes in for the fifth inning, allows a home run to start. They bring in Brogdon. He gets through the scoreless. He comes in and didn't allow any runs for the remainder of the fifth. Falter comes in to start the sixth and was scoreless through three innings. And he had a nice fastball changeup slider mix going. He looked really good. It's another lefty out of the bullpen, kind of similar to Ranger Suarez, can go multiple innings and can piggyback off of Spencer Howard, because you knew that he's not going to give you more than three or four innings at least at this point. But the two different mindsets about this is, well, what should we be happy with the direction that Spencer Howard is going? Again, there's various lines of thought. If some people think, hey, we should let this guy can't pitch past four or five innings, then what are we doing here? This is ridiculous. We need to take the training wheels off. And then there's the other thought of, hey, it's okay if we just try and train you to go four or five innings, and that's totally fine. I thought it was interesting listening. So Ruben Amaro, who I mentioned, was on the broadcast with Tom McCarthy last night. He of course, does the overlap with the post-game show. It was Michael Barkan and Ben Davis, and they were interviewing him after the game about the fact that Spencer Howard, as of right now, is not going very deep into these games. And take a listen to what he said.
Yeah, I think, Michael, I think you're looking at a pitcher that has not really been conditioned physically or mentally to pitch and be stretched out in the major leagues. He hasn't pitched all that much in the minor leagues. I don't know how many times, maybe four or five times in his whole career, has he pitched more than five innings in his entire professional career. And so if you're not conditioned to do that, and if your thought process in your mind, and I'm not sure if they put this in his mind before the games, you know, listen, you're only going to pitch four or five innings, or you're going to pitch three or four innings. You know, when you start thinking that way, then you're almost conditioned not to pitch more than that. I'm not sure if that is the case. I do not know. I've not talked to Caleb Cotham about that. I have not talked to Joe Girardi about that. But I do know that they're limiting his innings. I think he knows that they're limiting his innings. And when you pitch like that, you don't necessarily, you know, your expectation of yourself becomes less and less. Hopefully he can get over that hump, because if he wants to be a major league starter here in the National League and here on the East Coast and here for the Philadelphia Phillies, he's going to have to be able to pitch more than five innings.
Now, Joe Girardi has been asked a number of different times in a million different ways what the long-term expectation for Spencer Howard is and what the innings limit might be this season. And there's been a variety of, again, ambiguous answers, not really answering the question directly. And quite frankly, there's probably a lot of stuff that truthfully he doesn't really know or is out of his control. It's at the organizational level, and a lot of it is based upon his health and how they want this guy to progress. But he was asked post-game last night about this, again, piggyback format, where you pitch him and then Ranger Suarez or say a Bailey Falter? And is this something that he believes can work long term? Is this something they plan to continue doing? And now take a listen to what Joe Girardi said.
This, the piggyback program, are you just given what you've seen, do you think this is something that can work? I mean, the results have been there. I mean, you're pitching in those games. It's been pretty good.
I do. I mean, we have not given up a lot of runs in those games. I think we're 2-2 maybe in these games, and we have not given up a lot of runs, so I definitely think it can work.
Now, I want to make a few things clear. First of all, I understand that it's modern-day baseball. It's 2021, and managers manage their pitching staffs in a variety of different ways. I mean, just look over to the Dodgers dugout on Monday night, and it took them 7 pitchers to get through this game. Tony Gonsolin goes 3 2/3 innings. It was just his second outing of the year. They're still building his innings back up. This is a guy who has gone back and forth from the bullpen to the starting rotation throughout his career with the Dodgers. And then 6 relievers after that. And then in the case of the Phillies, they used this piggyback approach. It was Howard, to Brogdon, to Falter, and Falter ended up going just 1 inning short of how long Spencer Howard went. The Rays and other teams have perfected the use of the opener. And it's not all about just traditional starts. It's not the way games aren't managed the way they used to be, where it's let's send this starter out there to see how long he can go. But having said all that, Spencer Howard was the top pitching prospect in this organization. And it is going to be a disappointment if he does not turn out to be a guy who can eventually give you 6, 7, sometimes 8 innings when he's pitching really well. That's not to say that starters these days can be ineffective going in shorter inning spurts, but when you have that kind of expectation on you, I think it's a disappointment if you can't build yourself up to that point. And I think those were both interesting. I don't think they're necessarily contrasting thoughts. I think what Amaro said, I think there's a lot of good stuff in there in regards to, look, he's going to ultimately need to build up more innings, and we all like to see him be able to build up more innings and keep that velocity where it is, not fall off and have to come out in the 4th, 5th, sometimes even 3rd inning, whatever the case might be. Now, based upon what Joe Girardi's saying there, I get he's just addressing the strategy that they've been using. But to go back to what Amaro said about if Spencer Howard, I hope that's not the case where Spencer Howard is just having the same ideas put into his head over and over and over again, which is I never have to worry about getting out of the 5th inning. I hope that by the Phillies utilizing the strategy, they're still making it clear that, hey, this is only a temporary thing until we can get your velocity more sustainable throughout the course of a game. So I am cautiously, I like that they've utilized this strategy. Joe Girardi's correct. They're 2-2 in these piggyback starts games, and they've actually worked out pretty well for the Phillies. I mean, Howard hasn't been stellar. He's been decent. He's pitched 13 1/3 innings. He's allowed 6 runs. He pitched to a 4.12 ERA, which isn't anything special, but he's kept the Phillies in the game when they actually have the ability to score runs behind him. And the Ranger Suarez just allowed his first earned run the other day. He'd been scoreless in all of those appearances, and Bailey Falter was scoreless in his relief appearance on Monday night. But what I hope doesn't happen is that the Phillies' utilization of the strategy doesn't train Spencer Howard to just be essentially a long reliever. This is a guy, again, was the top pitching prospect in the organization. I want him to be an actual starting pitcher in the not-so-distant future, hopefully by next year. And so that my only skepticism of using this is, and I'm not in these conversations, I don't know what they're talking about behind the scenes. I hope this is just precautionary and trying to win now, because it's not a good move in-game to try and win the most games possible to keep him past the 4th, 5th inning, whatever the case is, however deep he can go, and keep that fastball velocity up and effective. And I hope that they are telling him behind the scenes, like, hey, this is how we're doing it. We're trying to limit your innings. We're not trying to further injure you or cause any problems for you long-term. We're also trying to win these games. However, in the future, we do expect that you're able to go beyond this level in a game. We hope you're able to go deeper into games than we've been having you go. And so my only fear is basically what Amaro said, and that when I hear Joe Girardi answer questions like that, that they're not going to train him in one direction away from what the Phillies ultimately need him to be long term, which is a bona fide starter who you can rely upon to give the ball to every fifth day and not need a reliever who can go three innings behind you every single time. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about Locker Room. This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is actually brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. And of course, I'm on the Locker Room app once a week talking all things Phillies and sometimes all things Philadelphia sports. To download the Locker Room app, and it's a free app currently available on iOS devices, be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the respective league group that you want, the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, you name it, they have it. Get the latest league updates. Again, follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4 or the Locked On Phillies podcast at LO_Phillies. And you might just get a sneak peek as to when I am going live. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league, Major League Baseball, or any other league that you like. Again, you'll find fans just like you in the Locker Room app for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. One last time, if you want to download that Locker Room app, it's currently available on all iOS devices. Create that profile, link your Twitter, and be sure to check back in to see when I and your favorite Locked On hosts or influencers might be going live. Also have to tell you about Wealthfront. If you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data shows that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the stock market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront, they make it easy. They have the right tools for every kind of portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every single day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences you control. Wealthfront can help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest from the average client. Their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. That's $5,000 managed for free for life. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFORNT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. Recapping the Phillies 3-1 loss at the hands of the Dodgers out at Dodger Stadium last night. Again, a 10-10 game, as West Coast games typically are, especially during the week. And the Phillies, they jumped out first, top half of the first inning against Tony Gonsolin. Odubel Herrera starts it off with a walk. Gene Segura, who continues to be hot at the plate, again, making a serious charge here to be in the All-Star game in Colorado in about a month, as I mentioned yesterday. He doubles to right field. Herrera moves up to third. Realmuto strikes out Bryce Harper. He comes through with a single to right center field. That makes the game 1-0. Rhys Hoskins, he pops out to center with Segura on third base and Harper on first base. He has just been unfortunately dreadful lately. We know how streaky he can be. He'll hit really well. And next thing you know, now he's 0 for his last 28. So that was the first time the Phillies left, well, not the first, the second time the Phillies left runners in scoring position, because Realmuto struck out with runners on second and third. Hoskins pops out for the second out of the inning. McCutchen draws a walk, and then Alec Bohm strikes out to end the inning. So some potential ducks left out on the pond there, as they say, or as I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite baseball expressions. Phillies only get one run there in the top half of the first inning. Bottom half of the first inning, Spencer Howard, he looks good. He comes out, fastballs riding at 95, 96, even 97 on a Justin Turner strikeout to end the inning. He gets the top half of that Dodger lineup, which is incredibly strong. Again, Betts, Mookie Betts, you got Gavin Lux in there, and then Justin Turner. You got two strikeouts and a flyout. That puts down the Dodgers 1-2-3. Top half of the second, Phillies do get a hit. Spencer Howard trying to help out himself. He actually hit a double to right field, but that was all the Phillies could get in that inning. So one hit, no runs for the Phils there. Spencer Howard comes back up. 1-2-3 retires them in order. He actually retired the first nine Dodger batters in order in the first, second, and third inning. That was incredible to see. Again, the issue with him is depth, not pitching in the beginning of games, but how deep into games he can go. Top half of the third, the Phillies went down 1-2-3, as I mentioned. Bottom half of the third, Spencer Howard gets the 7, 8, 9 hitters to go down 1-2-3. So he is not allowed a base runner up to this point. Now, it was the fourth inning, might have been the longest inning in this entire game. Another missed opportunity for the Phils. It started with a McCutchen walk. Alec Bohm, he hit a single that moved McCutchen up to second. Then Torres struck out looking, unfortunately, bad timing in the lineup. Spencer Howard comes up. He strikes out looking. By the way, some brutal umpire calls, especially in this inning. Balls that look well off the plate, leading to those couple of strikeouts. But, you know, sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles. The debate about robot umpires versus human umpires is a debate for another day. But the Phillies kind of get screwed on some poor umpiring there. David Price, that's when he comes in the game with two outs. Herrera, Odubel Herrera reached on a fielding error by Chris Taylor on the infield. So that loads the bases. Unfortunately, Gene Segura cannot come through, hits into a fielder's choice. That ends the inning, and they leave them loaded and cannot capitalize on the error, which, of course, would come back to bite them. Bottom half of the fourth inning, leadoff walk also always comes back to bite you. Mookie Betts, he leads off with a walk. That was the first base runner of the game for the Dodgers. Lux hit into a fielder's choice, so he gets on. Betts is pulled off the bases. Justin Turner, he flies out. There's two outs. Looks like Spencer Howard's going to get out unscathed. And then he allows a home run to Will Smith. He hits one 405 feet to deep left center field. He comes around to score. Lux comes around to score. Dodgers go up by a score of 2-1. Top half of the fifth, Phils go down relatively easily. It was a Realmuto flyout. Harper singled. Dodgers go to Joe Kelly out of the bullpen to relieve Price. Rhys Hoskins, just nothing going right for him these days. He grounds into a double play. That ends the inning. Bottom half of the fifth turned out to be the final batter that Spencer Howard faced. Chris Taylor, home run to deep left center field that gave the Dodgers a 3-1 lead. Howard gets yanked. We go to Connor Brogdon. He retires the Dodgers in order when he comes in for the fifth. And that was the end of the scoring in this game. And again, wasn't for lack of opportunities. Phillies had two hits in the top half of the sixth inning. Could not do anything with it. Top of the seventh inning, they got a hit. Top half of the eighth inning, they were unable to get anything going. Ninth inning, they basically go down, or they did go down, 1-2-3 to Kenley Jansen. And that's how this game ends. Eight total hits for the Phils, just three for the Dodgers. Again, there was an Albert Pujols single in there. The other two hits, they were home runs. And somehow, you know, sometimes it's not the quantity of hits, it's the quality of the hits. And when you hit a home run, you're guaranteed to score at least yourself and anyone on base. And that's why we've seen a shift in modern day baseball to a little bit of that format. This game featured in total, and that wasn't the only way, it was modern day baseball. Seven pitchers for the Dodgers, just three for the Phillies, but kind of a bullpen style approach. Spencer Howard, he went four innings in this game, went longer of the two starters in terms of innings pitched, and in terms of, not in terms of pitches thrown, just in terms of innings pitched. He went 67 pitches, got through four. Gonsolin, he went 81 pitches. He only gets through 3 2/3. And no other pitcher for the Dodgers the rest of the way went more than an inning, with the exception of Joe Kelly, who went an inning and a third. For the Phillies, it was a little bit more of a staggered bullpen approach. Bailey Falter, of course, went three innings to close it out. Not to close out a win, but to pitch the final three innings for the Phils. Howard went four. Brogdon went an inning in there. So a little bit of a modern-day baseball game. Some unique managing and pitching styles. And ultimately, the long ball is what won it. For the Dodgers, a bunch of hits and base runners not working out for the Phils. I expect to see games managed a little bit more differently here tonight, as it will be Zach Eflin and Julio Urias. And then, of course, on Wednesday when you're going to have Zach Wheeler and Clayton Kershaw. The bullpens might have a little bit more of a rest in that game. That's going to be a little bit more traditional. And if you're in favor of big-time pitching matchups, which what baseball fan isn't, that is certainly the game for you. So on the other side, we will preview tonight's game. Tonight's pitching matchup and the rest of the series. But first, I have to tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing. You can track all of the action at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams navigate their ways through the playoffs and, of course, the long haul of the MLB season. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for the 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Also got to tell you about RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his or her computer, choosing the only the brands that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible. Rather than changing the prices based on what the market will bear, the way airlines do, RockAuto.com's for everybody does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for more than 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for the auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com. Getting set for game two of this three-game series out at Dodger Stadium. Always fun when the Phillies play out in Los Angeles, by the way. The stars come out in L.A., right? Miles Teller was out the game last night. He's a big-time Phillies fan. The Utley family was there. Got to see some of the Phillies employees and guys talk to Chase during the game. It's always cool when he's out there. He, of course, from Southern California, lives in Los Angeles now, finished his career with the Dodgers. I still believe he has a advisor role of sorts with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So always cool when he's there, seeing him in his post-major league career. He's Mr. Cool Guy now. He's wearing a backwards hat. You'd never see him do that on the field. He was always clean-cut and professional. Now he's let himself go entirely. He's the cool dad. Cool to see him there with his wife and kids. So always fun when the Phillies play out in L.A. One of these years, I hope to do a trip out there. San Francisco is a trip I've done, not while the Phillies were playing there, but it's a ballpark I've been to. L.A., just a cool city in general, and Dodger Stadium seems like a very cool venue to catch a game. Always fun watching games there. You never know who you might run into, and certainly a place the Phillies have unfortunately struggled, as most teams have of late, just because the Dodgers have been so good for such a long time, basically here over the past decade. They have not gone through the same struggles since, I think back to when the Phillies were playing them in the 08 and 09 NLCS. They've been the postseason and won NL West after NL West after NL West, going on ridiculous division tears, and finally last year getting over the hump to get that World Series win. So it's a big-time game, a big-time venue, somewhere I do hope to visit one day, but always fun even watching games on TV when the Phillies play there. Some cool memories dating back to the Matt Stairs home run. You always get some pretty cool scenic views out there in L.A. too. Those California sunsets do look pretty nice. I like the Northeast. I like the variety of seasons we have here. But looking at palm trees and, you know, a California sunset in the middle of the summer, sometimes I do get, you know, just a little bit jealous. I wish I was there on vacation, not permanently to live. Anyway, the Phillies out there in Dodger Stadium, out there in California for Game 2 on this huge test of a road trip. It will be Zach Eflin and Julio Urias going in Game 2. It'll be a right-hander in Eflin, a left-hander in Urias. And these are two starters who I like to think of two, like, very, very solid, very, very good middle-of-the-rotation guys. You know, neither guys are anchoring their staffs. Of course, the Dodgers have Trevor Bauer and Clayton Kershaw, so Urias is not expected to be on that level. And Zach Eflin, the Phillies, even though I think they should be getting more out of Aaron Nola so far this season, and certainly he had a really good outing against the Yankees on Sunday, and Zach Wheeler has just been the ace of the team so far this year. So I'd say these are two, like, really, really good middle-of-the-rotation guys. Should be a pretty good pitching matchup, a little bit more traditional, if that's your style, than the pitching management we saw in Monday night's ballgame. These guys will go deeper into the game. Eflin comes in with a 3.89 ERA. Urias comes in with a 3.56 ERA. Eflin coming off a pretty solid starting performance against the Atlanta Braves back on June 9th, which was last Wednesday. It was 6 innings. He allowed 8 hits, but just 1 run, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, which was big for him because the last couple of starts before that, he allowed 3 and 4 runs respectively. And he's had a pretty overall good season. Derailed there a little bit, but against the Braves, comes up with a big-time start, pitched very, very well. He goes 6 innings. Arias, as I mentioned, has a 3.56 ERA on the season, coming off a 6-inning, 3-run performance against the Pirates. Before that, he went 5 innings, 1 run. He blew up in a start against the Giants a couple starts back. But other than that, so far this season, you know, here and there he struggled, but has been a very, very solid pitcher. Of course, he's been with the Dodgers. It was one of their big-time prospects. I mean, they always seem to be spitting out prospects left and right. That's why they're so good. But he's been in the big leagues, hard to believe now. Basically, what, this is his 6th season, which is, he's only a year older than I am. He was born in 1996. I'm born in 1997. Guy's been in the big leagues basically since he's been a teenager, which is not uncommon for athletes these days, but it feels like he's an established veteran. Guy's only 24 years old and has been pitching in the big leagues, and you know, he's obviously pitched quite well, has a lot of postseason experience. So he will be the left-hander that the Phillies are set to attack here in the Tuesday night ball game. And again, this is a big-time game, A, because you don't want to lose a series the second you go on the road. And they lost Game 1 to the Dodgers on Monday night. But because you have Clayton Kershaw going in the game on Wednesday, and I feel really confident about Zach Wheeler, but it's really important for this offense to get going at least some point on this trip. They did not capitalize on their opportunities on Monday night. They're going to need to capitalize on their opportunities here in tonight's game, because certainly you can't expect to capitalize on your opportunities when you have a guy like Clayton Kershaw on the mound. That is going to be a pitching duel of all pitching duels. It's almost as good as it gets these days, and appointment television that game will be. But they're going to have to win a game that's likely low scoring on Wednesday night. So this is a good opportunity, and the offense should have this game circled on their calendar, certainly, based upon how they played last night, based upon what they have ahead of them on Wednesday. This needs to be the game that they put some runs on the board. Maybe they get a few long balls back into the mix, hit some balls out of the ballpark. You know, home runs are not a bad thing, certainly. I like the old school approach, but let's get some home runs in the mix. Let's hit the ball into some gaps. Let's capitalize with runners in scoring position. Let's put a nice crooked number. I sound like a baseball coach, but it would be nice to see the Phillies put up a nice crooked number in this game and even this series up at 1. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Make sure you're subscribed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to this fine program. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4 and the podcast at LO_Phillies. Get all the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.